of life. Help us to reflect on what it is to live in you, to have redemption, and to know the power of your grace and your love, and to transcend that to our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. For 60 years, their father had been a faithful pastor, well known, well respected by all of his peers, active in numerous congregations up until just a few years ago, well into his 80s. Two of his five children were also pastors, plus two of his grandchildren. The family had all gathered. Dad was on his deathbed. Two sons, three daughters, their spouses and family, the room was full. And they all knew the death was closing in. And then quietly, the father spoke. He asked all of his family to step outside of the room. And he asked for one to remain his pastor. In the hallway, one of the daughters asked, "What is Dad doing?" And then one of her brothers said, "Private confession." The daughter responded, "Confession? He's been a faithful pastor his entire life. What does he have to confess?" And the four pastors in the family all in chorus nodded knowingly. Too often, we have an image that it is those who have sinned greatly who need to confess. Here was a man who had been faithful, a servant of the Lord, and now on his deathbed comes to the Lord in confession, because he knew at that moment that yes, he was crossing over from death to life, and he needed that forgiveness that only Christ can give. Verse 3 of the gospel reads, "No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish." A very strong indictment. Throughout my time that I have been with you, we have continually talked about this need to confess and be absolved. We need to talk about how we can need to confess to one another, and then how we respond in forgiveness to one another. We are taken in this gospel with a very interesting scenario. As they ask him, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way?" Yes, it was the topic of their day, and they wanted to know about these Galileans who were suffering, who were being killed, whose blood had been mixed. And yet, how many times do we as Christians make this statement? Why, or better yet, he or she must have done something really bad in order to have suffered that way, to have such a tragic end, being blessed to sit by the bedside of a number of faithful Christians who, yes, are departing this life in their final moments. And then to be able to sit with them And to hear them talk about, yes, their sinfulness and their need of a Savior. And in confidence to receive the forgiveness of sins as they depart from this life. In the gospel this morning, Jesus speaks about repenting, about perishing. And without repentance, we will perish. Yes, the crowd wanted to talk about the Galileans. It was probably the story of the day circulating around the area. How many times do we want to know about the story of our day, of our lives? We watch helplessly as we see innocent lives dying day in and day out right now in a war that they cannot escape. Nor do they choose to be a part of. We see those images. And I don't know about you, but when I watch some of that, my heart just sinks. And the question for me is, what kind of a world do we really live in? That the respect for human life is not even there. And yet, as I watch this, I remember reading Peter the Great and Catherine the Great. And if you think what we see now is something new, it is not. Part of reading those very thick books was that you had to deal with how, even in those times, the disregard for human life. And it made for some very difficult reading. For one of the key things they did to keep the people under the control was that when you had gone against Peter or Catherine, you were put in the town square, and there you were arms tied each to a horse, each leg tied to a horse, and then the horse was sent in four different directions and you were quartered in the midst of everybody watching as an example. Over and over again, you saw that, or to witness various ways of how human life was just disrespected. As I watch what's going on in our world today, it conjures up some very similar feelings. Difficult to watch. Realizing this is a world we are a part of. And some in this world have no respect for human life. Some in this world see things so differently. How do we comprehend their thinking? Can you imagine the people of Jesus' day asking Jesus about the Galilean as they witness things they couldn't understand, and we do the same. And when I see some of this, I have a certain amount of impatience that just comes over me. I really don't want to indulge in any of this. I want to avoid it. And then, as they talk about these, Jesus tells them the parable of the fig tree. How does that fit in? Here is a fig tree, barren. And yet what we see, as you listen to that parable of the fig tree, is that the vine dresser has let it go for 3 years. He's been taking care of it for 3 years and it is not bearing any fruit. And he wants to cut it down. But there we see in this parable the real patience of God. How patient he is with each one of us. We live in a time when the church is in a difficult place. You are criticized. You still believe all that? By many people. Our world is wondering, what's in it for me? And yes, people today are tiring of the known institutions. And they're looking for something. Grown impatient. And what do they see? They want to look for something else. What else is there? We see all kinds of churches springing up across our land today. People looking for something. Not sure just what it is. And those churches are all kinds of things. And some people look at the church as a barren fig tree, not producing much fruit. We've got caught up in the petty. We're looking for something to make us feel better because we want what's in it for me. And we want it to make sense for me. What do you hold on to? What is it that you believe? Do you want a church that's grounded in the Word? As long as that Word doesn't deviate from what I want or believe in my own heart. Where do you turn in the life crises of your life? Is it to others? Or is it to God? We oftentimes live in a world in which we want to look around us and see, well, I'm better than them, or that person, or that person. It's sort of what Jesus is talking about here. The Galileans were wondering, you know, what was it that made them suffer what they did? We like to focus on the depths of everyone else's sin because somehow it makes me feel better about who I am. There's really only one answer to all of this. It's really laid out in the gospel so beautifully, as that fig tree was to be let alone, to be nurtured and cultured, and then to see if it would bear fruit. And yet the reality is, if it does not, guess what happens? It gets cut down. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. And when you no longer bear fruit, I will cut you off. Faith in Christ and Christ alone is what gives us meaning and purpose to life. What is it you're holding on from the past? Oftentimes it's being held on very tightly. And that past sometimes makes it impossible for us to live today. As you witness and see what's going on in our world, and we can discuss all kinds of things with it, where's your faith? Where is our certainty? Are we to be bearing fruit? Beautiful illustration here in our children's message this morning. Jesus says, unless you repent, you likewise will perish. These are strong words. Each one of us needs to come to that cross day in and day out, and there to acknowledge our sins and to realize that it is only God who can forgive us. We are to be bearing fruit. We are to be loving one another. We are to be a witness to the power of forgiveness and confession at work in our lives. Scripture is very clear what the fruit of the spirits are: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and yes, self-control. With a heart, we ought to focus on these. This is who we ought to be in a world that oftentimes shows very little of that. Because we're so self-centered. We're so focused on what I want that we fail to recognize that without Christ, we are nothing. You and I, we can make a difference. And sometimes that's what troubles me most, is that we ought to be fruit bearers. We ought to be sharing one another, working together in the power of Christ's love and in the power of Christ's forgiveness. In Christ alone. You and I have life. And you see, that's the good news, that we share and we can proclaim together. And sometimes we live our lives as though it doesn't even exist. And yet it's the reality of who we are. In Him, and Him alone, do we really come to know the power of His love. In His cross, in this season in which we walk down that road to Calvary, there we see the real power of our lives. It's not us. It's Him who loved us with an everlasting love and is there, yes, even on our deathbed. We're there too. I have heard those confessions. And the beauty is to know that God is at work, and through our lives, He is our eternal hope. Amen.